is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. On days that I'm weak, it's hard to believe, still I know He'll see me through. He'll give me the power to conquer the hour in everything I do. Lift up my voice and I sing songs of joy to the God who reigns on high. Give me new courage, won't let anything hurt me as I sing to Him my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. My song, and He has become my Lord. So with joy I will shout as I rise in the clouds on the day my Lord returns. I'll sit at His table and drink of salvation and praise His holy name. Dance around heaven with Moses and Aaron and proclaim what God has done. So be gone all your troubles and all of your devils, 'cause Jesus, He's my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host. Today is the fourth day of October, year 2017, and we've entitled today's program, The Las Vegas Event. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do want to remind everybody that this is going out live over eurofolkradio.com. And that's where our home is now, since TalkShoe decided that the First Amendment no longer has sway, and money calls the shots in America today. That and Jewish pressure. The free conference call is open. If you feel like joining us, the phone number is area code 605. The number is 472-5300. And when you hear the operator ask for the ID number, this program's ID number is 649-249. And, of course, you can always join also online by going to the freeconferencecall.com website and look for this program by the ID Minuteman 53. We do have a website where we post stuff on a daily basis now, a lot of news, a lot of things going on. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with you. So just go by PastorDan.net from time to time and look at the information that is there. We want to also remind you that Thomas Jefferson told us that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. George Washington told us that when the government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty to take away government's right to govern. Actually, to be honest, governments have no rights whatsoever to begin with. They have obligations and duties. That's what the oath of office is all about. Okay, we do have a caller already. We have Dr. Arden Gifford with us from the great state of Texas. And Arden, can you hear me?
Hi, Dr. Gifford, Arden Gifford, Houston.
Oh, excellent. Very good. Well, the main topic for tonight, and I do know that there's a few other folks said at some point during the program they're going to call in, so we'll wait for them. But in the meantime, we can get started. The main topic, of course, there's so many people talking about it today, is this latest staged event in Las Vegas. There's a lot to be talked about in that area. There's so much information out there, but I was wondering, what are you hearing down in your neck of the woods, Dr. Gifford?
Well, I, across the Internet, which I've been tracking all of this material, and with my source, which is caveated by some censorship that we want to observe, the situation is far beyond the scale and scope of the simple matter of Stephen Pollack. And the circumstantial matters that are related to that abrogate the extents and the validity of the scientific understanding of what actually happened. And so it fits the pattern of 9/11, in which it took, you know, what, 20 years to figure out that the physical laws of nature cannot be abrogated politically. And so when we look at the physical laws of nature and we try to apply it to what's going on in the circumstances that are happening, the inconsistency between the existing public awareness for public consumption and the documentation of the physical events don't jive. Now, I don't know why they don't jive, but they don't jive. And so there is something far more extensive that is involved here and more detailed. And I would leave it to the group to discuss what they've come up with that are the inconsistencies between what we have found, what little we have found, and what they'll let us know, and that the standard public consumption statement of the existing circumstance, which I find to be rather disabling from the point of view of the public opinion. What are other people's opinion about this? I mean, do they see it as a straightforward issue?
No, actually, they don't. Let me just call something up here for the radio station in a second. Okay. No, I'm hearing from many, many people, relatives, close friends, coworkers, etc. I think this may be one of the first events that so quickly has been analyzed to be completely fake that I've ever seen. Just regular common people, I'm talking blue collar, maybe some white collar, engineers, vice presidents, project managers, CEOs, all the way down to the local electricians, plumbers, and landscapers. I mean, everybody I've talked to, the very first things that they're saying is, here we go again, another false flag. Probably one of the best reports that I've heard recently was given by Robert David Steele, who is a former CIA officer. He is part of the hashtag Unrig movement with former congressperson Cynthia McKinney, and they are trying to get our elections back to being fair and honest elections, which is a formidable task. But Robert Steele just nailed it in a 20-minute presentation on his he was a guest on this YouTube channel. But he just went from top to bottom. It's pretty much stuff we know, but when you hear it from a former CIA guy, it just carries a lot more weight than from, you know, Dan or Dr. Gifford or whatever. But he basically
send me the link on that. Would what's you that? Send me the link on the link for that report. Drop it in the mail, okay?
Yep, absolutely. It's I'm trying to think of the name of it. It goes by the initials VL. It's something like Veritas Libertas or something like that. But if you do a Google search, I'm sure it'll show up. But anyway, Robert Steele, CIA, exposes Las Vegas as a complete false flag. In fact, he goes one step further. He said not only is it a false flag event, but he identifies the Zionists that have infiltrated this country and our government as being the leading culprits. He names, for instance, Michael Chertoff, who we know was made the first head of Homeland Security when he is a discredited son of a rabbi, Israeli Mossad, dual citizen traitor to the United States. He was under federal indictment in New Jersey when he was appointed. Now, get a load of that. He's appointed to the lead a department that's, quote, for our homeland security while he was under indictment at the federal level for crimes in the state of New Jersey as a federal judge. So, I mean, if that doesn't show the caliber of people that we've got running this boat, nothing else does. I mean, the guy's a criminal. He's a criminal without being a Zionist. But when you throw the fact that he's a dual citizen, swore his oath of loyalty to Israel, and then on top of that, he's a potential felon, and yet he's put into the office that's watching over the security of our nation. Which national security is he concerned with? The United States, or it's a lie?
Well, Lenin was a Zionist, you know.
Of course.
And this is the October Revolution, and the celebration of the October Revolution, 100 years ago. And,
exactly. 100 years ago to the day.
Yeah. And the issue of the Bilderberger blood sacrifice is going on in California with the people out there that are clearly demonstrating the deep state. So the circumstance is not circumstantial. And I think that the scale and scope of this issue is far beyond the issue of Stephen Pollack, I think. The Bohemian Grove has blood sacrifice on October 1st as a ritual.
Right.
To inaugurate the beginning of the social order. And the Bohemian Grove is staffed by the membership of all of our former presidents, the Bush family, the Obama family, et cetera. I mean, it's a bipartisan issue. So I'm trying to say that it should be speculative, but the circumstances are not speculative. If you look at the concrete evidence that's going on, it doesn't jive with the report. The report is the the people, the police got there within 45 minutes. And yet, the later report came is that within 11 minutes, we had a shooter at the front door. We knocked on the door. Stephen answered the door, and we machine gunned the door and killed Stephen, and the shooting stopped. But the problem is that the shells from high-powered weapons are 400 to 500 degrees hot. And if they drop on a plush carpet, like it would be in a five-star hotel, they burn it. And this area is littered with shells, but none of the carpets burned.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Having I was in the military, so I've been to the firing range with M16s and with an M30 when I was in the Army ROTC out on maneuvers. So you're quite right. They get very, very hot. It's just amazing. You're right. Little things like that give them away. And what amazes me, as I heard David James here on Eurofolk Radio talking during his news bites, They're not very good. It's amazing, but these guys are not very good. They make lots of mistakes, and they don't seem to care about trying to fix those mistakes. You would think they would spend a little bit more money, do a little bit better research, get a little higher caliber of liar and actor to put these things on, because they're making tons and tons of mistakes, especially at a time when so many of our people are waking up. So we have amateur journalists that are tearing them apart within hours of these events. And yet, I guess they're counting on the fact that for decades, Dr. Gifford, we've been pretty dumbed down and just bought whatever slop they put out there for us. And so they're just not too concerned that we're waking up and figuring out that they're nothing but liars.
Well, I mean, the amateur journalists that are not part of the deep state are being attacked and disenfranchised from the internet. The censorship is happening. They're closing down their sites now.
Well, yeah,
today.
That happened to me.
And the professional journalists, are the ones that are owned and agents of the state, and
right.
So consequently, they carry forth the party line. Because the matter is better on that side of the street. And so the concept of our trying to understand the nuances of why this took place is that it exceeds the random event of a psychotic guy who likes to gamble and hasn't any experience with arms. And he has $300,000 of arms and thousands of rounds of ammunition.
Right.
Right.
When you start applying real life and any kind of rational questioning to their narrative, it completely falls apart, doesn't it?
Right. But how many people look at it that way? I mean, they work just like with 9/11. They deal with it with panic. And then as soon as you can panic the car, the fear drives the belief. And it doesn't look at the fundamentals of it. So that is a fundamental of Edward Bernays. I mean, he understands that if you can generate fear, you can get people to believe in anything. And that's exactly what happens. So,
right.
The analysis is that the intellectuals are going to come back and say that 10 or 15 years from now that this and that happened, just like they did with 9/11. But, who cares at that point? There's no actionable, specific, relevant political, economic, and sociopolitical development that can be taken at that time period. So the idea is to create hysteria. And what it does is that when you create hysteria in a public situation, if you quote Bernays, Edward Bernays, the nephew of Freud, you can justify an authoritarian government driven from the top. so that, you know, the top chief comes around and parades himself as saying, you know, we did the right thing and so on, and I'm a good guy and everything else, and Big Brother is right here and he's going to protect you. And good grief. You know, I'm, you know, a Trump supporter, but I mean, obviously it's so staged.
Yep, you're quite right about that. Well, you know, I think a lot of us are what you might call Trump supporters, but we're not so blind as to not understand that even if Trump has the purest of motives, he's in a swamp up to his neck in alligators, and it's going to be extremely difficult to get anything done because it's not called the deep state for nothing. The treason, the blood money, the blackmail, the intimidation in Washington, D.C. is incredible. In fact, I told the story, this is a personal friend of mine whose cousin was in the U.S. House of Representatives a few years back, and he quit after 1 year and came home. And so when he talked to his cousin and said, why did you quit? He said, I'm getting out of Washington before they do to me and my family what they've done to everybody else. Those are his words. And he also later on put a finger on Dick Cheney as who was the individual that broke the camel's back. He was the final straw when he walked into the man's office and put a piece of paper in front of him and said, here's a bill coming up and here's how you're going to vote. Yeah. So, you know, people that don't think this stuff is going on are just ignorant and they're naive. This is just unbelievable corruption in Washington. If they listen to the testimony of Dr. Jandar. Now, do you know Dr. Jandar or know of Dr. Jandar?
No, please send me a link on him.
Okay. Well, Dr. Jandar was the doctor who testified in front of Congress not all that long ago, and he testified about the fact that in America, it's all about the money. It's not about prevention. And the reason that modern medicine in America does not do anything with prevention is because there's no money in it. Well, he testified in front of Congress and on numerous talk shows and TV programs, etc. He just recently left his practice because of the new Obamacare provisions that took effect this year. And now he's on his own radio show and his own YouTube channel. But Dr. Jandar was approached by Lee Atwater. Now, Congressman Atwater has since passed away. But he was a very powerful man in Washington, D.C. for quite a while, and he invited Dr. Jandar into his office after this congressional testimony that he gave. And he said, Doctor, I can tell you're a man of honor. You care about people. You care about the truth. He said, but let me be a friend to you right now and tell you what's going to happen. They're going to approach you about becoming a part of government, run for office, maybe even the presidency. Who knows? He said, but they're going to ask you to do that, not because they plan to do anything about what you're talking about, because they want to control you. He said, now, when they figure out that they can't control you, because I can tell you're a man of honor and you're not controllable, he says, when they figure out that you're not going to allow them to control you, they will kill you. Now, that's right from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Right. Well, the first thing, Daniel, is don't trust anybody that takes his orders from God. You know, if he doesn't take orders by being a team player to the establishment, don't trust him. If he takes his orders from God or Yahweh, forget about it, because he is not going to cooperate. Okay? So the situation is basically that the medical establishment father was William Haysworth. He had six wives and 24 kids, and his main job was to sell snake oil fraudulently across the board and moving from place to place and promised everything in the world. And he is the father of John D. Rockefeller, who turned around and decided to change this kind of oil to Petroleum and bought Sloan Kettering for $200 million. And he bought every medical school in the country. And he funded all the professors, and he funded all the resources. And he said, now I want to have my board of directors go in and decide that Petro drugs, run by my drug companies, which he owned them all, is the only gold standard there is, and food doesn't matter. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the idea is that he went in and bought medicine. The guy that his father was the snake oil salesman.
Right. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Doesn't. So, you know, I we're faced with a situation that is there. And Dan, I'm sorry I can't continue the conversation because I have postponed a video conference by somebody in Europe and I have to go. But I appreciate you giving me a heads up on this. And if I had known about it sooner, I wouldn't have this problem. But I got to go right now.
Okay, Dr. Gifford. Okay. Thanks a lot for taking some time and being with us.
Well, all right. Send me emails on those two guys that you have there. Okay, I'll talk to you.
All right, you take care and Yahweh bless. Just a second, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta do that because if I don't, the elevator music won't stop. So you have to forgive me. I didn't know the doctor was leaving quite that early. So anyway, again, that was Dr. Gifford down in Texas, the Houston area, and we thank him for joining us. But Dr. Gifford's got a tremendous amount of information, especially in the area of medicine today and the, shall we say, the medical mafia, and how they have basically railroaded that institution into a killing machine, to be quite frank. And they're not telling the truth on many, many issues. Now, Bubby 1483 has written in a bunch of stuff here for us, and let me see if I can catch up to some of the things he's provided. He said there were multiple automatic weapons fired, M60s, automatic rifles, also blanks firing in several locations. Audio proves this. And I would add that it only, how should I say this? It shows that there was the sound of machine gun fire. Now, I have been, I'm trying to get something here. I have been to Army and Air Force ranges with full automatic machine guns and rifles during drills when they're firing blanks. There's no way to tell the difference. So for the untrained ear, there's absolutely no way to tell real bullets being fired or blanks being fired, or in this day and age, a superb speaker system playing a replication of automatic fire. The people don't know. Okay, they don't know. So let me try to test something here. Somebody send me a text or on the blog window here at Eurofolk Radio if there's any kind of feedback or echo. I don't believe there is, but if you're hearing something out there in radio land, please send me a text via the chat window there as to the quality of the sound. Let me know if there's any kind of feedback. Bubby also tells us the taxi cab driver, the video shows the firing from a fourth floor window, not the 32nd, and you clearly hear multiple weapons. And again, there were multiple weapons, but were they real or not? The actor witness wearing purple and green, also a shoe with the numbers that they use on it. Okay. No blood or body parts, even though a 30 caliber machine gun was used. And again, if you've looked at the M30 machine gun firing 308 ammunition, which is 30 caliber, those are pretty damn big bullets. All right. They're going to leave wounds. There's going to be a lot of bleeding. You know, some people were talking about the fact, well, you can get shot and not much outwardly be present. Maybe small caliber, possibly, like pistols. But when you start shooting people with high-powered rifles, they're not going to stay within the body. They're going to tear things up and come out the other side. So, and there will be bleeding, all right? A few rounds might not, but the majority are going to cause bleeding. The Fed was reported to have a terrorist meeting at the same place and date. That's right. There was a DHS or FEMA event scheduled for this date. And isn't it funny? They always seem to be having a drill at every one of these things, whether you're talking the Pulse nightclub, Sandy Hook, Fort Lauderdale, and on and on and on it goes. It just never stops. It's the same scenario. When the hell are we going to wake up? All this info posted on YouTube, which he has watched. Again, that was Bubby 1483. And okay, thank you, Bunny and Bubby, for telling me the audio seems to be okay. I'm hearing a very, very slight echo, but that might be in the software that I'm using for the broadcast. So I do want to make sure you're not hearing at your end. So that's great. I think finally we've got most of the bugs were figured out on this goofy thing. So hopefully the audio is going to be much better from this point forward. So here again, and Bunny says here, a chick walked up to the cab with a broken leg. I broke the tib and fib. No way could I stand on it, let alone walk. Why didn't the cabbie take her to the hospital? Well, because it's a staged event. There's no panic. I mean, every one of these things is ridiculous when you watch it. Again, I'm not a first responder, and I was not in active combat with bullets flying, even though I was in the military. But I can tell you that these people don't act at all like people that I've been around in a real crisis situation. For instance, when a fellow, a friend of mine in Toledo, Ohio, many years ago, were leaving a building when a perpetrator come flying around the corner and leveled his pistol, and we were only a few degrees to his left and fired off three quick shots with a .45 caliber automatic pistol. And again, automatic pistol is not truly automatic. It's semi-automatic. They just call it automatic pistol, but it's actually semi-automatic. But anyway, he levels that big old pistol up and fires three quick shots at somebody that was running across a highway. Apparently they'd had an argument, but my friend and I were only about 10 degrees to the left of this man's line of fire. No way could you be calm when you were talking about that. I mean, it was a scary situation, and that was not even close to what these people are saying happened here. So the fingerprints of false flag are all over this goofy thing. And here again, when are we going to wake up and learn? The good news is a lot of people are. I've been talking to people now for the past 2 days, and I've been pleasantly surprised at how many people have figured it out. I mean, they've finally learned that anything being put out by the fake news, which is the mainstream fake news, or institutions of government, and most certainly if it's a Jew, okay, if a Jew's lips are moving, he's lying, okay? I personally don't think they can do anything but that. I don't think they're wired for that. Now, there are a few notable exceptions, like Brother Nathaniel does have put out some pretty good information. Benjamin Friedman back in the 60s was very good at exposing what the Zionists were up to. So there's some very few exceptions, but they are exceptions. They're not the rule. They are the very, very tiny exceptions to the rule. And as one guy pointed out to me many times, you don't make rules for your society based on the exceptions. You make rules based on the norm. And in our case, Jesus the Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, told us very, very plainly that we were never to trust these people. He called them vipers. He said they do the work of their father in John chapter 8. He was a liar, a murderer from the beginning, and so are you. That's why they hated him. That's why they wanted him dead, because he was very outspoken about who they were and the fact they're liars, that they're not the people of the Bible. They're not the Israelites of old. They're the sons and daughters of Satan himself. Now, if you don't believe that, then you need to stop calling yourself a believer or a Christian, because that's what's in your Bibles. It's not our fault for pointing these things out to you simply because you choose not to read your Bible, which is the case for most people today in America. They call themselves Christian, but Christian in name only, or sinos, because they don't read, they don't pray, they don't study, they don't question. They just take whatever the news media hands them and run with it. They, as the same thing on Sundays, they take whatever that preacher, that prostitute behind the pulpit, they take whatever slop he's dishing out for the day and they run off with it as if it's gospel, when it's not. I was looking to see if this note applied here. Okay, no, it doesn't. So again, back to what happened in Las Vegas, but here again, this is just another in a series of events that have been perpetrated against the American people. We have no idea as to whether there were actually any true victims. The CIA officer, retired, that talked to today in his presentation, said that there is absolutely, at this time, there is absolutely no evidence of an actual injury or fatality. None. And as he pointed out, there are people saying, well, I know somebody, or my best friend's buddy, or my ex-girlfriend's mom was there and got hurt or saw it or whatever. He said a lot of times people think they see something, or they've been told by somebody they trusted, and then they come off as if it was actually their testimony. So you can't go by that. If you weren't actually there, then you can't go by that. All right? And again, I wasn't there, but I can tell that the story that we're being presented is ludicrous. Just like when 9/11 happened, the day after it happened, I was talking to friends of mine, and I said, there's something fishy. The day after it happened, I remember telling my friends, there's something fishy about this whole thing. It didn't smell right. It didn't pass the smell test to me. And within a month, I was in contact with retired military who set me straight. Now, Dr. Gifford said that it took us 15 years to figure out 9/11. No, it didn't. It took us 15 days. It's just that those of us who had figured it out weren't on the evening news, and you out there in the herd weren't giving guys like me any credibility. And you weren't giving Colonel Don DeGrand Pre and Colonel Ben Parton and Colonel Francis Farrell and a host of others that I had on this radio program after 9/11 telling you what happened. They had it figured out. And one of the very first things they told us was that they're lying. They're lying to you. First of all, every military man I interviewed said that 9/11 was a military operation. There was no way it was just a handful of Arabs from caves over in the Middle East somewhere or in Afghanistan that pulled this thing off. They said this had the precision of a military operation. That was within two weeks to 3 weeks of 9/11 happening. They had already figured that out. So it's not that everybody was fooled. No, not everybody was. The majority were, but not everybody. It's taken this long to convince you folks out there that what we were talking about is true. You're the folks that have had to see another 15 years of mayhem and chaos and so-called terror. 9/11 was the kickoff of the communist takeover of the United States. That was their big coming out party. And the Mossad has their fingerprints all over it, okay? That's just the way it is. If people can't understand that, then they just, that's just too bad. So, Las Vegas is going to turn out to be no different than all the rest of these events. There are going to be those naysayers who want to bury their head in the sand, who do not want anybody to break their comfort zone. And they're going to hang on to the government story pretty much count them as lost, okay? It's no different than when we deal with the gospel and the truth of the Bible when you're talking to people. There are people that light up like a Christmas tree and love what you're telling them because they knew something was wrong, and they just can't get enough after that. Well, this is the same way. Truth seekers will figure out that we've been lied to yet again, and they're going to take off with these explanations, and they're going to figure out the government is up to no good, as usual, with the Jewish element definitely involved, okay? The mainstream media complicit with the crime, law enforcement complicit with the crime, all right? This is a crime. When your government and the news media and different institutions, federal agencies within your government, when they are complicit in pulling off a stunt like this and lying to you, that's treason against you. Now, when people do this sort of thing, that means they're up to no good. I hope you can figure that out. They're up to no good. And people say, well, though, what was the motive? Qui bono? Who benefited? What's the motive? Well, within hours of this thing, what were they talking about? Oh, more gun control. And there was always the anti-white slant to the reporting, okay? Even though this character doesn't exist, I hope you understand that. This guy that they said was up there, you know, here again, the shooter is alone. He's always alone, even though it's nearly impossible for one person to have pulled this off, even if it were a true event. And it's not. But he's always a lone gunman, and so they can make up any story they want, and you have no recourse because there is no person to go to for their testimony or to interrogate them or to look into their background because they've made this guy up. So they're not going to find school friends for him or transcripts or college buddies or any of this other garbage because he either doesn't exist or they put this guy's name out there, but he had nothing to do with it. It's ludicrous. I don't even watch most of this kind of stuff anymore because as soon as I hear about it, I can pretty much tell just by the way it's being announced that it's another one of these fear porn staged events to give them some kind of credibility when they try to take more of your rights away. I mean, it's not hard to figure it out, people. I do want to remind you again, the phone line is open. If you're out there and you want to join in with the conversation tonight, please do so. Area code 605 and the phone number is 472-5300. And the ID number for this program is 649-249. And what do we have here? Bunny was talking about when she had broken a leg. She was in so much pain. She says, my friends tried to carry me to the car and take me to the hospital, but the pain was so intense that we ended up calling an ambulance. Again, you know, anybody that's been around real injuries, real broken bones, real lacerations, real gunshot wounds, you see through this immediately. People in the airline industry saw through 9/11 almost immediately. The ones that were having a questioning attitude anyway. Why? Because the things that we're saying just aren't the way things are done in the airline industry. All right? It made no sense at all. Almost all of these made-up goofy things that are going on are simply to bring about what Henry Kissinger told us about in 1991 at that Bilderberg meeting when he addressed his fellow globalists, swamp creatures, and said that we will give the American people terror. And then they're not only going to accept world government, they're going to beg us for it. He told us that in 1991, folks. I think it's probably the only time in his life he didn't lie outright. He actually told the truth. But then again, he was in a meeting with fellow swamp creatures. So he had no reason to lie to them. He was basically bragging about what they planned on doing. Now, you got to remember, 1991, when he made that speech, that was the year before Randy Weaver's family was murdered. Portions of their family were murdered. And they attempted to burn the cabin to the ground with Randy and his daughters and Kevin Harris in the cabin alive. Vicky had already been shot dead. His son Sammy had been shot in the back, dead. The family dog shot dead. and they ran over the family dog 20 times with their Jeep just to taunt the family, to get them to try to come out so they could gun them down. When that didn't work, they had planned to bring in a helicopter with a bladder full of fuel and drop it on top of the cabin and set it on fire and burn them alive, just like they did Gordon Call, just like they did at Waco, just like the Marat building was a holocaust and killed innocent people in those flames, just like 9/11 was a holocaust, innocent people died. Do you see a pattern here, folks? And all of it involves the same group of people that Christ warned us about. Geez, do you think maybe the Bible's true? Do you think Christ may have told us the truth about these people? They're here to steal, kill, and destroy. When they speak a lie, they speak their own language. Oh, my God, that is the fitting description of a Jew. When their mouth is moving, their lips are moving, they're lying. Lying. I keep telling people about the story when I went to a PTA meeting in Tampa. I have family that was over there, and my niece was going to be in a play. And so I went along with them to this PTA meeting to listen to her and her classmates perform. And it was kind of interesting. So my family said, well, why don't you stick around for the rest of the meeting? And next thing I know, and this was quite some time ago, this is back when bicycle helmets were first being foisted upon us, you know, the scare tactic. Oh, my poor boy might fall off of his bicycle and hurt his poor little head, so we got to all go out and buy bicycle helmets. And they wanted to make it a law. So up in front of us at the PTA meeting comes this female lawyer. And she gets up there, and I want to talk to you parents today about Tommy. Little Tommy in our neighborhood here was riding his bicycle the other day, and, well, he lost control, and he fell off of his bike and hit his head on a telephone pole, and now he's in critical condition, and he may have brain damage. We need to have our children wear these helmets. I looked at my family, and I said, she's lying. And they just looked at me in horror. They're telling this story about this little boy, and he's got possible brain damage. How could you say that it's just a lie? I said, she's a lawyer. I said, that's number one. Number two, I can almost bet she's Jewish. So I said, I'm going to tell you what. You guys do some investigation after this meeting's over. Go around the neighborhood and ask your neighbors if they know this Tommy and anything about the incident. I said, let me tell you what you're going to find out. Tommy doesn't exist. The accident didn't happen. And she's probably one of the people in the Jewish community who's bought stock in the helmet factories that are going to make these helmets. And so they're going to get the dumb Christian white folks to go out and buy these asinine, overpriced helmets based on these kind of concocted stories. Guess what? It wasn't but a few months later, I get the phone call. My God, you were right. I said, what are you talking about? They said, remember over a month ago when we went to that PTA meeting? I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. They said, remember what you said about the woman lawyer? And I said, yeah. They said, you know what? You're right. We found out who she is, where she works. Indeed, she is Jewish. She is a lawyer. They said, we didn't look into whether she actually owns stock in the companies that are making these helmets, but she is a lawyer. She is Jewish. That this boy, Tommy, nobody's ever heard of before. There is no record of an accident of a little boy anywhere close to this neighborhood having any kind of a bicycle accident with a head injury. So, do we see a pattern developing here? Yes, even at the local level, a little PTA meeting outside Tampa, Florida, all the way up to the Twin Towers in New York. It's the same M.O. They're feeding you a line of bullshit. Excuse my French, but that's exactly what it is. They feed you that same line of crap, expecting you to swallow it, and then allow them to do whatever they're going to do. Raise your taxes, take away rights, take away property, take away companies, destroy your Christian constitutional republic. All on fabricated stories. Isn't that special? Now, you can't really blame them for what they do. It's in their DNA. Christ said, you do the work of your father. What's that tell you? It means you're a descendant of Satan, the adversary. And as his descendant, you're going to have a tendency to do what he does. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a destroyer, an assassin. Okay? So the children are the same. Christ pointed that out. And they hated him for it. They wanted his blood because of that. Let's see, what else do we have here? Bubby says here, we've been brainwashed to believe whatever the Talmud vision Cyclops say is the truth. We love lies. Amen to that. Yeah, we do, unfortunately. Same thing in San Bernardino, no blood and no bullet damages. What the heck? Another total fraud. It amazes me how gullible folks are. This is some of the stuff going on in the chat room, and they're quite right. None of the flight crews of 9/11 followed FAA hijacking protocol. None of them. And no way would the flight attendants allow passengers to help in a hijacking. That's exactly right. You go to any event, the very first thing that these people, whether you're in an airplane at 30,000 feet or whether you're in a local neighborhood and it's the local cops or whatever, the first thing they do is cordon it off and they don't let you anywhere near it. And yet these staged events, you got passersby picking people up and everything else, and you don't pick up on that stuff, folks. Isn't it kind of amazing? You don't pick up on it. Complete and outright lies. Fabricated stories. I mean, I still remember in Orlando at the so-called Pulse thing, nightclub, somebody had pulled out their own little camera and caught these people on video. And thank God for that. Portable video and cameras are so pervasive today because the amateur journalists are doing a much better job. And they videotaped these crisis actors carrying this so-called guy with a severe leg wound, trying to get him help. And when they pan up from where these guys are, they were carrying him back towards the nightclub. Why would you carry him towards the nightclub? I thought you'd want to carry him from the scene towards medical help. But they didn't think that the camera was ever going to pan far enough to do that. But the individual that was filming them did catch this. It even caught the fact that once the perpetrator was done filming, they all stood up, including the so-called wounded individual, and gave each other a high five and were laughing and everything else. Folks, it's a staged event, okay? Staged. To our chagrin, our people fall for this stuff. This is an assault. 100 years later, 100 years after the Jewish Bolshevik revolution of Russia that cost the lives of over 100 million Russians, many of them starved to death, men, women, and children. Many also butchered, literally butchered by the communists. They hated white people. They hated Christians. But most certainly they hate white Christians more than anything on earth. And the Bolsheviks had a field day, literally butchering, not just killing, butchering with knives, gutting men, women, and children. 100 years ago, the anniversary, and they pull this stunt off. This is to mark the end game for the Zionists. This is their end game move to take over the last bastion of freedom in this world, which is the United States, the patriots within the United States who still have their teeth, their liberty teeth, known as their firearms. You see, the Russian people had already been pretty much disarmed by the time the Bolsheviks made their move. They've been trying and trying and trying to get ours, and they've been frustrated because the American people, at least the gun owners, have figured them out. I've got a lot of friends of mine who are very, very anxious, shall we say, because of what they see going on. And the question I'm always asked is, when do we fight back? We've been watching these people and what they've been doing for quite some time. They are murderers. They are assassins. They are pedophiles. They are Satan worshipers. They have murdered many, many innocent boys and girls on their altars in horrific rituals. They've done unspeakable things to the sex slaves that are used between them and then sold and handed off to their friends overseas. Unspeakable things to our children. How much longer are we going to take this, guys? And I know some of you ladies want to fight too, but this is really the men's fight. When, men, is enough enough? I'm asking you. I'm asking all of you that still have a conscience out there. I'm asking all of you that still say that you believe in the God of heaven and the Christ. You say that you believe in our Heavenly Father and the Christ, and yet you allow this to continue. Why? Is it cowardice? Is it fear for your job? Is it fear that you'll lose your earthly possessions, which you can't take with you, folks? Have they promised you a lot of money for your silence? Have they threatened you? Are they blackmailing you? Now, Robert David Steele, the CIA officer, said that he has gotten word that there is an element of good guys working out a amnesty deal for those doing the work of Satan's kids if they will come forth right now and turn over the blackmailers, turn over the intimidators, turn over the leaders of this Jewish cabal that's taking the world into the pits of hell. You only have a short period of time, and I'm going to assume that it's true that there are elements of our military and our veterans who are itching for a fight. I've met them. They are itching for a fight with you people. Supposedly the Rothschilds and the vipers that walk amongst us are actually talking about the fact they need to do something to mitigate this because the mobs will be coming after them with ropes. Amen. Amen. I won't say how many. I know folks that have already bought rope for this event, and they're not going to unpackage that rope until it's used to put a noose in it for you Zionist pigs and your lapdogs that are destroying innocent lives all over this earth for your filthy money, your filthy debt-based Babylonian bucks, exactly as Revelation chapter 17 and 18 discuss. Exactly. You will come to an end in 1 hour. Now, the English says 1 hour. The Greek says in a very short period of time. So the English translators thought, well, an hour is a short period of time, so we'll put 1 hour. That's not what the Greek text says. The Greek text just says in a very short period of time. Your time's almost over, and hallelujah for that. I think we're all tired of watching innocent people dying of disease. I've lost my neighbor, a great gentleman, hard worker, would give his shirt off his back to you, liver cancer. I found out that my niece and her husband, his stepfather, was just diagnosed with liver cancer, another cancer. We have other people that I know recently died of, again, cancer. I lost my nephew of 28 years old back in December of last year. Again, to what? Cancer. Do you think this is by accident, people? Now, the scripture tells us that the root of all evil is the love of money. It's not money. It's not gold. It's not silver. It's not people that have businesses or learn to make a product and they're somewhat wealthy. No, they earned that. They have a right to that. If your intellect develops something or whatever and you're selling it worldwide, and you're entitled to make some money. That's not what creates evil. It's those that worship or love and lust for money. As soon as money creates that kind of loyalty in you to where you will commit crimes against humanity for that lucre, that money, you are now evil yourself. You're guilty. You're guilty. Shame on you. There is a heavy price to pay for that. Now, I know a lot of people don't think so, but I'm here to tell you there is. And I think one of the things that's happening right now, besides men like Robert David Steele and Cynthia McKinney, Yahweh bless their hearts for the work that they're doing. There's many, many others. Okay. There's many, many others. Brother Nathaniel, who is a, he's a Jew by race, but has given up, Judaism. All right. He is also exposing a lot of the stuff going on. So people like that, we want to keep them in our prayers. We got area code 941 on the air. Welcome to the program. Did you have a comment or question?
Hey, Pastor. It's Jay.
Oh, hi, Jay. Welcome to the program, bud.
I wanted to, you know, I listen. I kind of feel bad about interrupting you because you had this different tone in your voice. I haven't heard before. It was bad, serious. It was interesting. Let's see a talk. But I had to call in because it's a tone I've been hearing and the voice of a lot of gentlemen like yourself who, from my perspective, I would consider an elder, somebody that's been doing this for a long time. You know, even before 9/11 was trying to learn the truth of this and talking about it. And I think I might know where it's coming from a little bit because, you know, I caught myself kind of doing it. What I've noticed is there's a lot of new people running around the movement now. And today, you know, after this event out in Vegas, I kept getting phone calls from people that are, you know, there's different stages of being awake. And I would say there's a lot of people right now that are in that weird stage where they're bouncing back and forth between the Alex Jones Cave of Confusion and AM radio, and they want to talk to you about what Mark Levin and stuff is saying, but they're getting closer. They're getting closer to that final step. And they'll call me and just get my thoughts on, well, what do you think of this Vegas thing? And, you know, some of these people were just, you know, zombified idiots 2 to 3 years ago. And I'm like, you know, back then I just wanted these people to wake up and want to know the truth so bad. And now that they want it, I almost don't feel like explaining it to them because we've been there, done that. You know, we've explained it over and over again. I'm ready to move to the next step. And I don't want to send them away if I act like, you know, if I take a somber tone and, you know, just act like I'm bored explaining it to them, then, you know, it'll turn people into nihilists. And that's, you know, one of the worst parts about waking up, that people could fall in that nihilist hole and then they're just another problem. So, I kind of wanted to know, do you kind of, have you felt that yourself, or if anybody listening felt that, anybody else noticed that, you know, if you kind of felt that way, kind of, you know, you're willing to talk about it, people ask, there's a lot more people asking than there ever have been, but I don't want to explain it again. I want to move on to the next stage.
Well, the good news, Jay, is that we have many apprentices under us that can take these people and bring them along, while you and I are part of what the Father calls the elect. And the elect's job is to be the avant-garde, if you're familiar with that term. The elect are the avant-garde of his Gideon army that's going to set this world straight. And I would agree with you that this sentiment and tone in the voice has been going on for at least the last month, maybe 2 months. There is a sense of urgency and a sense of anger, resentment. It reminds me of the scripture where Yahweh says that his righteous individuals, and particularly us men, are going to be angry and eager for the fight, but he has put the restrainer against us, not out of anger and not because we're not right, because it's not time. He has a time and he has a purpose for this timing, but the day is coming and I don't think it's very far away. And I kind of sense that what you're talking about and what I'm about ready to tell you about that happened to me yesterday, this is indicative of where we're at. So the restrainer is like the Holy Spirit pushing us back. And I've asked men for years in our serious talks about this stuff, do you feel like you're being withheld? Do you feel like there's a force holding you back? They said, yeah. And then we would talk about the restrainer. I think he's going to take the restrainer away in the very near future, and here's why I believe that. So now tonight we have you calling in saying what you're saying. I talked to a Navy friend of mine that he and I have worked together on a job for 8 years, and we have not talked to each other for over 2 years since I left. Calls me up in a sense of urgency, wanting to talk to me about Las Vegas. So out of the blue, after all this time, he's contacted me wanting my take on what happened in Las Vegas because he knows he's being lied to. So here's a Navy guy. He's angry, talking to me about all this, wants to know when we're going to do something about it. And then further, he tells me about a Army sniper who quit and joined the Navy and was on his boat. And the two of them got talking one night, and he told him about being a sniper in the Army, and he said, I had to get out. I had to stop. And he said, why is that? He goes, I became aware of the fact that I was being called to do things that weren't right. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, I was shooting people that I thought might not have been bad people. He said, well, where were you? And he said, the Philippines. So here was direct evidence that our military men have been sent in the past to the Philippines to execute people. And the guys pulling the trigger don't have an idea, don't even have a clue whether the person is actually guilty of any crime whatsoever, other than being an enemy of the Jews in charge in the United States. So we conversed further, and he expressed much of the sentiments that you're talking about tonight, Jay. It also reminds me that I talked to another friend of mine, a former co-worker, also with the Navy, who told me about a time that he was in the Navy and that he had been ordered to do things that he came to find out were not in the interests of the United States and should not have been something that the Navy was involved with at all. In fact, both of these gentlemen in the Navy had told me similar stories. So I'm getting a lot of this feedback from apps, from people I actually know, not to mention the fact of what I saw when I was in the United States Air Force during Vietnam and the things that I saw and heard about within the military. So, I mean, this goes back a long way. I think the anger has built up to the point. I think we're on the cusp, Jay. I really do. Were you listening when I was talking about this being the 100th anniversary of the Jewish Bolshevik Revolution in Russia?
Yes. Yes, I was listening, and I agree with you. You know, this is the anniversary of the Balfour Declaration and the seeds that were sown to grow the evil roots that we find ourselves surrounded by at this time.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So all of that taken into account, the anger level, the level of waking up, the level of stupidity of our enemy, and thank goodness they are stupid. Like one guy said, when your enemy's making a mistake, you don't interfere. And so we shouldn't interfere because they're doing a damn good job exposing themselves without our help. So we've got them being completely retarded. I mean, everything on the left today, even some of the people that are liberals that I know, are ashamed of these talking heads from the left and just how stupid they are. Some of the absolutely brain-dead things they're saying. So we have the left in a total meltdown. We have the Jews starting to melt down because they can tell that the lynch mob is starting to form. The people that are going to come after them have started talking about lynchings. They have started talking about getting their guns down because the government is illegitimate, Jay. I hate to say that, but in the United States today, at the state level and the federal level, the government is completely illegitimate. And by that, I mean when you take an oath of office to be an officer of government, there's a reason for that. It's your loyalty to we the people and your agreement to operate in that office according to the constraints of the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence and any other restraints that we put upon those that we pay their bills. All right? They are out of control at the government level. Out of control. Therefore, they have become our enemies and doing things that make them outlaws. And as one general, I read a letter that was put out by a general earlier today, a U.S. Marine Corps general retired. I don't know if it's for real or not, but the sentiments of the letter are absolutely for real. And he basically said exactly what you and I are saying here. We men, especially we men with any kind of training, whether it's law enforcement or military, we men have been watching this charade go on long enough, and we're tired of it. And you people that are taking Soros Jew money to cause hate and discontent and beating people up and trashing property and everything else, when you take a paycheck from George Soros or any other Jew to do these sorts of things, you have become a mercenary. He goes on in the letter to say, as a mercenary, you deserve whatever's going to happen to you. And let me give you a hint at what's going to happen to you if you keep this crap up. We men, especially us elders, especially those of us that have been trained, we're going to be ready for you at some point in the near future. And when you start your antics, we are going to take care of it. And he even states in the letter, you can take this to the bank, basically. We will kill you because you are a criminal who has evil intent against our loved ones or our property, and as such, you have no protection under the law. Talking about the Constitution or the common law, neither one. You have no protection because you are an enemy combatant and you have violated the law. So, and I think we lost Jay, son of a gun. Hope he calls back. But I thought that was quite interesting and very apropos. And again, I have no idea whether the general, the U.S. Marine Corps general, actually said that or not. But that sentiment that he expressed in that letter certainly applies, whether it was legitimately his or not. I think we lost you, Jay, but are you back?
Yes, I came back in. Go ahead and finish your thought. I was enjoying it, and I wanted to add something in, another thought I had.
Well, I was just saying that the letter written by the general, the Marine Corps general, is very apropos in the fact that we are getting angry. We've been trying to be patient. We're much like our founding fathers. They wrote letters of protest and redress of grievance to the King of England for decades, all through the 1600s into the mid-1700s. So it was not overnight that the founding fathers, the patriots, the Minutemen of the 1775, they didn't come to that decision overnight. It was after a long train of abuses. So just like the poem by Rudyard Kipling, when the Saxon learns to hate, okay? Hating does not come easy to an Anglo-Saxon, who is the Israelites of old. We are loving, caring, sharing people. That's a hallmark of the white race, the Israelites. So hatred does not come easily to us. We want to be loving, caring, sharing people. However, when a long train of abuses has committed crimes against those that we love and care for, eventually our love and care for those that are behind us, our families, our loved ones, our friends, our community, that love will overcome the loving, caring, sharing portion, and we men can become the worst nightmare of those who have chosen to bring this fight home to us. So, again, I've said this many times in the air. It does not matter if I personally live to see this. It does not matter. I'm telling you, it's coming. Rudyard Kipling wrote about it. History tells you about it. This is just history repeating itself. The Jews have done it once again. They've done it for thousands and thousands of years. They come into a country, they undermine every institution that makes you a stable society. It's just what they do. They enjoy it, they get a thrill out of it, and they make money out of it. At our displeasure and our vice is how they make money. And when we wake up to it, as we always do eventually, that's when the retribution comes. And I think Robert David Steele was alluding to that when he said that he is getting the word through the people he knows that these elitists, which are predominantly Jewish, are starting to feel the heat. They're starting to get the notion that we've about reached the breaking point. Anyway, I'll shut up now for a bit and let you talk.
Oh, well, no, it's very good. And, you know, you said that about the restrainer earlier. And basically, I tried to explain this to somebody with, I didn't have those words to explain it in, but it was somebody else. You flatter me by saying it. I'm at the level of you guys, but I look at guys like you, Harold Covington, Metzger, I mean, all the other guys, depending on, not everyone's got different tactics and different angles they're running, but you guys are the elders of this. So if you're putting that on me, I would say I'm like a junior elder. So I tend to look to you guys. And I kind of thought to myself when I would explain to somebody else, and they were asking me, well, you know, what is the next step to move forward? And I go, well, you know, we're still in the information war stage of this. And, you know, I left from him, and I just kept thinking about it more and more, and I go, okay, well, if we're still in the information stage of this, and at this point, elders like you and people that have learned so much that, you know, are a little bored or, you know, are finding it hard to really get into the deeper explanations of all these false flags and shootings that's going on, but yet we know how to find the information, how to look it up. You know, I realized, I think the next step for all of us is we have to find a way to look into these and find the things that we never looked to before. You know, what are the, you know, if all we do is sit around and can constantly repeat all the negative information that the enemy puts out, it's like constantly repeat, you could be as awake as possible, and if all you ever do, even though you know it's lies, is get your information from the enemy's media about what's going on, you're going to eventually start to hate your people because you're going to think we're useless, we can't get ahead. Because it's just all negativity. And I think it's, you know, tell me if I'm wrong on it, but I think it's our job to, we've got to find the positive in it. So I went digging into two recent incidences that have happened. One's the Vegas one, and the other's the shooting in the at the church in Tennessee. And I realized that all of our pro-media, everybody that was talking about, was missing a very important angle. There were some very big pro-white, our people's spirit, that we could have talked about that we didn't. And I think that's what we need to do. When we talk to the newer people that are waking up, when they come to us, we need to give them the points that they're not going to hear anyone else. And just two quick examples, the church shooting in Tennessee. I'm not going to get into the hypocrisy in the media. We all know that and all the other things. But we should do it a comparison to the Dylann Roof incident. What I get from that is I look and I go, okay, this small, bowl-cutted, tasty-faced little white kid goes into a black church where, you know, I'm sure they weren't intimidated at this kid looking at him at all, and shoots the place up. And nobody makes any effort. I mean, I don't even think they started throwing Bibles at him or anything. Nobody made any effort to try to stop him at all. And a lot of people would say, well, he had guns. Well, it's life or death. If you were on the 9/11 airplanes, you would have got up right now. If you went back there, you'd have been up there rushing those idiots when they jumped up, if that's what happened, to try to do that. And, you know, once he was done doing his thing, he walked right out the front door like he was just leaving a bar. And then the cops picked him up down the road. Well, when our enemies came to our church and tried to kill our people, what happened? A 22-year-old kid that didn't have any military experience as a law enforcement officer, working as an usher in the church, took it upon himself to rush a guy that is bigger than him, stronger than him, and armed. And he had no gun on him. He gets involved in a fight for the gun, and while he's fighting for one gun, the other one, I assume must have been empty at the time, not sure, he started pistol whipping him in the head with, but the kid did not go down. And he managed to fight the guy enough to get the gun to be aimed back towards him and inevitably led to the suspect shooting himself with his own gun due to this fight. Well, at that time, the boy's father, much more older than him, runs in, takes over the fight so the boy can go to his car, get his gun, come back in, and hold the suspect in rotation for the cops to show up. That is why there were so few deaths involved when they came to our church, and he fought back. And it says something about our people, you know. The fact that nobody fought back in that church, in the black church, that's just on them. That's their thing. But I am very proud to see that when they came to us, we fought back. And it's what we talk about with our people. Don't go along with everything that's saying. That's that spirit I hear guys like Eric Covington and others, you know, worry that might have been lost. And I always say it's not lost. It's just covered over with permafrost. Something's got to shake it loose. And bam, look what that did then. And he should be held up as a hero for it. We, you know, that's what that's a positive message for us. And to move ahead to the Las Vegas incident, you know, some people might have heard of these two things, but I don't think they grasped the deeper meaning of it. In Las Vegas, there was a Marine, a retired Marine, that saw that with all the commotion and law enforcement coming in, it was creating a glut, and, you know, people needed to get from the scene of where the wounded people were and get them to the other location where they could get help. So what does this guy do? He breaks into a truck and steals it. I don't know if he hot-wired or what, but he steals the truck right there on the scene. Then, so further on in the night, if anybody goes and listens to the reports over the radio, what the cop, when cops showed up, you know, they couldn't get right up there, so they had to leave their cars behind and go running into the situation. Well, as people were fleeing out, they saw the cop cars there. They started trying to break into the cop cars to get guns, not to steal from them, but to get the shotguns and things that they had in there and try to go help them. Officer gets on the radio and announces this. Now I'm looking for more information. I would like to think if any of our people did something like that, just like the Marines, you would show back up with that gun, highly cleaned, and turn yourself in over it. But it's the idea that they did it. You know, I'm not saying people should next time they have an incident go out and break into cop cars, but look at the symbolism of it. We want people, we always say, well, that fire's not in. They won't fight back. Well, to them, I'm impressed. Right there, they could have run. They could have got away. No. You're like, I'm going to do what needs to be done to save my people, to save the white people that are around me. And they start making things happen. They start doing things. And that is the quintessential element of our people. And so, honestly, there are beautiful things that could be spun in the way that, you know, that brings our people up. And I would say that's probably the step that all of us that are elders that have all these skills and are just burnt out trying to talk about it, that's what we need to do. And where I kind of want to say something that I actually got from some of the Norse pagan guys, they said it takes effort to find the good. And I know this is in Christianity too, but I heard it from the first and the good point. It takes effort, and I think that's what our job is. In any of these incidents to happen, we need to seek out what is the positive, what is the good thing on this, and we might find gems of diamonds. And I'll also say this. If anybody's listening that is with Pastor Dan and they are familiar with the church in, I do believe it's Landance, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville, I think we should have this with Pastor Dan. If we could get in touch with this guy, would you bring this kid on to have him tell his story to all our people here? I think he deserves to be honored.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
If there's anybody out there. That's a contact and email Pastor Dan, try to get see if he'd be willing to come on to talk, to tell a story. Not for him to brag, he's extremely modest, and you know, and he's a very good Christian boy. I can tell by what he's saying, but it's just to bring our people up, because that's what we need as heroes right now, and there's a lot of them around, and we need to show people that they're around. And I say the elders, you know, so that in a while, we need to see it too, because it brings our spirits up as well. And you know, if you don't think that's the direction, I'll respect an elder's decision on it. But I mean, what do you think? Think that's a good idea?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I would love to talk to him. And to be honest, you know, all 18 years we've been on the air, we dedicated this program to our Father in Truth. We also dedicated it to a mountain of especially white people, but anybody. Who have stories to tell and reports, but they're not given the light of day by the mainstream media. And this is another case, as you pointed out, because a white boy jumped into the fray and his father apparently helped out. And in the end, they were able to subdue this animal. That's a good story. And that's why the media won't touch it, because it paints white people that get involved and take part in a positive way, and they sure as hell don't want that. They want us to be afraid and tapping keys on a computer. Don't you dare load up that M1 carbine or that M14 rifle and fix bayonets because they're worried about that. They are actually worried about that. I think they know that time is right around the corner. So, Yeah, if anybody has contact information, I'll try to get it myself, but if somebody can send it to me, I would be more than happy to have him on. I did get a hold of police officer Sergeant, I believe it's Jim Ram, who's on Eurofolk Radio with Do It Yourself Health. I listened to his broadcast. I found out he was a retired police officer. He's into natural health. He's a believer. I sent him a quick email, asked him if he had heard of Downtown White Police and James and Jay. He had not, but he was looking forward to finding out more about you. And he's out of town right now, but has agreed to come on as my guest in the very near future. So there is another police officer speaking truth about not only what's going on in politics and with law enforcement, but he's speaking out volumes of truth in the area of natural health and GMO foods and supplements and all of that stuff. So our family's growing, our network's growing, Jay.
I'll tell you what. If anybody can help make this happen for Pastor Dan to bring him on, I will talk to James, and I'll ask him to talk to the guys over the political cesspool, and maybe we can get him on there. And we've got to put our money where our mouth is to spread to the other elders out there that, hey, we shouldn't just parrot the obvious things, the things we know. The media is biased. Yes, they do false light. Yes, this is probably fake. You know, yes, this is government thing. It's our job now to lead by finding these positives, giving our people the heroes, giving our people the inspiration, because this is that sign. This is what our people need to hear and know, that that fire is still in people. That thing that made us the greatest race on the planet, that built all that we have built, is still in us. It's just the situation must be created to break open the permafrost layer that's over it and let it be exposed. And that's what Yahweh's for. That's what God's there for. He'll take care of that. All we have to do is let people know that it's there. Keep that fire burning, and when the time comes, he'll bring it out.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, Robert David Steele, the CIA officer, made mention of something that I think you've talked to me about. He said that Las Vegas and many of these staged events are budget opportunities for law enforcement, whether it's at the federal or the state level. A lot of these things are driven by budgets. They're trying to justify their budgets. It reminds me of the film that somebody had made of the police getting ready for the raid on the people, the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. They showed this woman police officer handing out VHS tapes to the news media people there to make sure they had plenty of tape. This was the night before they set it on fire and murdered all the people in the building. And she said, we want to make sure you get it all. So it just leads more credibility to what Robert Steele said. A lot of this stuff is staged. It gives the politicians what they want, which is a platform for their agenda, in this case, to go after our guns. But it gives the cops a justification for their budgets, to get more toys, to get more officers, to get more money. And it brings to mind something that happened in my community here less than 2 weeks ago. We had a army of military vehicles invade this community. An army. I've never seen so much hardware. We had hook and ladder truck from the fire department. We had an ambulance. We had two plain white vans. Lord knows what the hell they had in them, but they had the red and blue lights going. We had unmarked SUVs. We had unmarked squad cars. We had marked squad cars. We had marked SUVs. We had two armored car MRAPs for the SWAT teams. The SWAT teams were decked out in full military gear, and all of this was in response to a disgruntled father telling his 20-some-year-old son that I'm fed up with the way things are going and I've got a gun and I'm going to kill myself. That's what all of this hardware showed up in this sleepy little community, to where outside of a small mobile home that was run down, you could almost walk through the walls of this thing. And yet there were two fully armored MRAPs with the SWAT guys with automatic weapons They had three snipers on neighbors' roofs pointed down, all for one guy that they thought was armed. There was no proof that he was armed. And his only threat was that he was going to take his own life. He had no hostages, wasn't threatening any other person. And yet we had a literal battalion of heavy armor in here for one individual like that. So that tells me that some of these guys have way too much time on their hands. They're so bored and want to use their new toys so bad that they'll take an event like this and just completely over-respond. So maybe there is some credibility to what people observed in Waco, Texas, that it was an event that went horribly wrong because they were going to use it to show their power and their might and justify their existence and their big budgets. And then it turned into a blazing inferno, and they ended up massacring not only the elderly people there, but 17 children. Have we forgotten? I sure hope the people in Texas haven't forgotten. 17 children were burned alive at Waco, Texas. And you don't think the God of heaven has this country under judgment? Let alone the millions that have died under a doctor's butcher's knife in abortion and the abortion industry and what they do with those aborted babies. It's sickening. I'm telling you, Jay, I'm amazed that we still survive. I would have thought the United States would be done in like Sodom and Gomorrah by now. We've got so much innocent blood on our hands. I'm shocked that we're still here.
Well, you know, I was in a chat room with some Christians and some North Pagans a while back, and this everything you just said kind of came up, and one of the North Pagans guys said something. You know, the one guy was saying what he says. I can't believe this country's not here. It hasn't been wiped off the face of Earth. And it's a German guy, and he kind of like all of a sudden piped up, and he says, "Well, America owes." What's to him? I go, "What?" He goes, "America owes." You know, he says, "We look at where we are now. We understand that, yeah, your people were zombified by the Jewish control of the media to think that was a good idea, to, you know, that Hitler wasn't the bad guy. We thought he was, and we, you know, we didn't know that Roosevelt had ordered airplanes to firebomb Japan for months before the attack on Pearl Harbor. We didn't know, we didn't put that together that this was going on." And he said, "And our might was used to defeat Germany, and honestly, the country that probably should, that should have actually won that war, and it would have been no effect to America, we've been a lot better off, and Europe would not be in the condition it's in right now. But we stepped involved." And he actually said, I don't get involved in religion of it, but there's goodness in you. You're white from all the European nations here, and you owe. Right now, Europe's lost. Well, some other nation to back them up. Well, you know, the people that are there ready to resist will never be able to do it." And he says, "If that's the job you're going to have to fill, that's going to be the payback, the break even for the ignorance that our grandparents show, I dare say the greatest generation." And I'm not mad at them. I understand. There is blood debts. There are debts that have to be paid. And you know what? To free our people, I think anybody here would say, "Yeah, that's why are we all in this? Okay, if that's what has to be, then fine. I will take care of that proudly to rectify that great wrong that was done to him. I don't have a problem with that." And I'm not saying it's exactly what it is, but it was his solution to exactly why we have been wiped off actually did make sense, because America has the best shot of becoming a white nation on the planet with land power and resources to fight off the Jew world order that will come down on us the first chance they get.
I agree. And we do owe them our assistance. We owe a lot of people. We owe the Cuban people for the betrayal at the Bay of Pigs. And I'm talking about the decent Cuban people, not the welfare entitlement snowflakes, because they got their share of them as well. But the older Cubans that came here and expected the so-called Christian Constitutional Republic known as the United States of America to back them up in taking Cuba back away from the Jew, Zionist, communist Fidel Castro, and then we betrayed them. We left them high and dry, and many of them went to prison. I know people personally who's the one lady I know, her father escaped, but her uncle, his brother, spent 30 years in a gulag in Cuba because he was part of the resistance to fight Castro and take Cuba back. And something I didn't know, Jay, when Castro was running to take over control of Cuba, he ran as a conservative. Did you know that? He did not.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he did not tell the people that he was a communist. He used the rhetoric of a conservative. And that's why so many people, like this lady I know, her father supported Castro until he came to power, and then he came out from hiding, and it showed that he was a true communist, and then he joined the resistance to throw Castro out. So, you know, and likewise, we owe our European brothers and sisters that we helped decimate Europe. We helped defeat the Italians and the Germans when all they were doing is trying to stop communism and save Europe from the Bolshevik terror that had killed so many tens of millions of Russians, innocent men, women, and children butchered so the Bolsheviks could take over there. I'm going to tell you something. If these bastard Jews think they're going to get a cakewalk through America like they walked through the Russians, this is 100 years later, and we're 100 years smarter, and we know what you guys are up to. And if you think you're going to walk through here and walk over us like you did our cousins in Russia, you got another thing coming. Because I'm going to tell you something, there's a whole lot of us ready for you, and you come and get them. Molon Leba, the Greek words, come and get them. Come and get them.
And I would offer, you know, Alex Linder's got a point whenever he says things like, are we going to do this 110 times? We got to ask ourselves that 109 times. And look where we are now. Are we going to have to do this 110, 111? Anybody, I don't even need to articulate that. Anybody awake knows exactly what I just said. And it is a discussion that is going to need to be had because we've not. This is it. We are at the brink. And this is where I get upset, guys, that, you know, hide behind wanting to get their job and live their comfortable life, you know, and they don't open their mouth and try to speak. This is life and death right now. It really is. And the information war is extremely important. And, you know, like you said earlier about, you know, when things go down, don't think government employees that never made any effort to try to fix anything and can't show any proof that they tried. You know, those guys need to take and look up some documents that were done by the military on rebellions. And they go into what happens when countries rebel. Like, I think a lot of local cops have this assumption that, well, you know, I'll just take the uniform off and go home and it's going to, you know, whatever, I'm not part of the community. No, it really doesn't work like that. You know, in Russia, in almost every country, I could name them off. I was reading this document, fascinated by it. People would show up to local cops' houses and drag them out. And, you know, whatever form of lynching they would use in the country, they did that quite a bit. And mainly it was because they couldn't get their hands on the guys, you know, with D.C., the guys they really wanted, so they would just go and get whatever form they could find of the government. And who's going to come to your rescue? The only thing that would defend you would be able to say, yeah, no, I'm trying. I did this. I'm, you know, I made some efforts. And, yeah, you're putting all that on the line, but did our, you know, did the men of the revolution put anything less on the line? No, they put more on the line. And everybody's got to do it. Everybody's got to put some at the table. We're not going to get through this with no uncomfortability where we can just stay in our house. The revolution, as they say, or the next war is not going to be televised. You know, it's either you're participating and you're trying to fix the problem or you're a part of the problem.
Yeah, amen to that. You know, it kind of reminds me, many years ago, one of my sons was going to go to college and get into law enforcement. And back then I was pretty young into the truther movement and the political cesspool that we find ourselves in. And I asked him, are you sure that's what you want to do? And he said, yeah, I think I would like to be a police officer. And I said, I would advise not to do that. And he said, well, why? I said, well, let me give you my perspective on this. I said, this country's going in a very, very negative direction. And I've studied a little bit of history. And when people finally realize who have been raping and robbing them for so many years, they're going to get angry. And there's going to be a revolt. You can count on it. I said, now here's the problem I see. Here's you in your police uniform, in your squad car. What do you think is going to happen when that mob who is angry, and I'm talking angry like you've never seen, they're going to look for a symbol of what has been destroying them and stealing from them and raping their children, etc. I said, and there you are with the uniform on, the squad car, the symbol of the tyranny that has been brutalizing them. I said, do you think that mob is going to stop and ask if you're one of the good guys? Because that's what he told me. He said, well, I'm not going to be a bad cop. I'm going to be one of the good ones. And I said, well, I still advise against it because I think it's too late, to be honest with you. I know there's good police officers out there, obviously. I'm talking to one. But I said, the mob is not going to be like me. I might stop and ask and try to get more information. I said, but the mob is not going to do that. I said, I would prefer you figure something else out to do. I said, when this is all over and you still want to do it and we get back to being righteous people and honest people with integrity, I said, well, then go for it. I said, great. I said, but man, with what I see coming down the pike in the near future in this country, I would advise you against it. And I think that's getting along the same lines of what you're talking about, Jay. When there's rebellion, they call it the mob mentality. The people get angry, and they're looking for symbols of to take their anger out on, symbols of the authority that's been abusing them. And unfortunately, it should be the people like the Bushes, the Clintons, Podesta, Schumer, Pelosi. They should be the ones that they go to their houses and drag them out. But oftentimes they've either flown out of the country or they're hiding in some palatial home up in the boondocks somewhere because they know the mess they've created. And they hope that they're going to be able to hide out while their underlings take the brunt of the mob's vengeance. But I think this time it could be slightly different. And alluding to what you talked about there with the 111 times, I think Obadiah verse 18 tells you what is about to happen.
Please tell it.
Well, Obadiah verse 18 says that Jacob and Joseph, which is a biblical reference to the true Israelite people, will become a flame and a fire. In the Bible, flame and fire represents judgment because it burns and consumes. It talks about the wicked being burned. It talks about misdeeds and things like that, armies of wicked kings consumed. So Joseph and Jacob, that's you and me, the true Israelites, the white Israelites. So it says in Obadiah that we're going to become a flame and a fire, but the house of Esau, and house always means people, a family. Esau is the same as Edom, which means red, and it's indicative of the Jewish people. Even the Jews in their own encyclopedia admit that they are Edom Esau. So it says that we become a flame and a fire, and Edom Esau becomes as stubble. Now, for all you farm boys out there, you know what stubble is. I've baled hay many a summer, and when you go out in the hay field and you pick up the bales of hay, when you're all done at the end of the day, what's left in the field? And that's stubble. That's the straw or the bits of hay that fell out from the bales or did not get picked up by the baling machine that makes the hay. So it's left in the field, and a lot of times there'll be little clumps of it. And my cousins and I, we used to go through the fields when we were in grade school and set those things on fire because we like setting things on fire. We're young guys. We used to make little forts and stuff out of cardboard boxes and then set them on fire. Well, we'd go through the fields and set these mounds of straw or stubble on fire. I think it's kind of ironic that now many, many years later, that sort of symbolically is going to be what we're going to do as a group. We're going to go through the fields, which is the world, and we're going to find little mounds of stubble, which are groups of Jews, and they're going to be exterminated. Now, people say, Dan, my God, that sounds cruel, and how can you say such a thing? Well, I didn't. The prophet Obadiah said it thousands of years ago, and you can read it in that book that you never read. It's called the Bible. You know, the one on the shelf with all the dust and dirt on it? Yeah, your Bible. If you read it, you'd know that I'm talking straight from the Bible. So I think that answers your question, Jay, is at the end of all of these atrocities, at the end that we know that our Christ was murdered by these people, that they relish in it, and as the little Jewish comedian, Silverstein, or whatever the hell her name is, bragged about the fact that the Jews murdered Christ, and she says in her stage production, I hope we did, and I hope if he comes back, we'll do it again. Those people, I think, are condemned already. Christ said that they are condemned already. I think they are condemned. I think the world has woken up to the machinations of this hideous group of people, and I think the end result will be that they will no longer plague mankind when this is all over.
And I can see you as being right. I've thought about it before, a long time ago, having a debate with somebody that, you know, we consider leftist or FJW, and they're talking about lynchings and this and that, and, you know, what would happen. I look at them and I go, you know what, as a matter of fact, you should actually hope the hardcore National Socialists are the ones that show up with their people. Those aren't the ones you necessarily need to be afraid of. Guys like yourself, but, you know, others, people that are listening, we're the ones that are actually going to be trying to, you know, recognize what's happening and, when necessary, try to hold our people back. But it's the ones that are gently coming awake that are all of a sudden going to be rushed into a lot of knowledge really fast. They will be at the peak of their rage, and there may not be enough of us around to gather those guys up. And it's funny you mentioned the thing about the straw, because something my grandfather used to require after the hayfield is, he always says, we had to go out and get that, we would call it kindling, because that's really what it is. We would have to get that kindling and drag it up and pull it into piles, because if you left it on the field like that, it's like leaving gasoline, gunpowder, and a flaming candle all in the same room. It's a recipe for disaster, because the flame could get out of control, burn things you don't want it to burn, and all of a sudden will happen too fast. And, there's not enough of us to go out there and gather those piles up to differentiate where to be burned, what should be burned. When all the other people are pissed off, it's you know, the enemy, that as much as they, you know, harp and, you know, crap on the Nazis, the National Socialists, the fascists, and those guys, in reality, the guys that are really like that, that are really into that, they're the ones that might actually save them from getting lynched by the mob. There's just too few of us around. In reality, it's the mob. It's the ones that probably don't know anything about National Socialists or anything, but when things start to go bad, it'll start to happen so fast that they just won't have time to know. All they'll know is they don't have food for their families, and all of a sudden they're realizing that everything is a lie, and they're just going to be pissed and in blind rage, and we're not going to be able to stop them. So it's one of those things where, when people say, God will exterminate them, well, yeah, he will, and he's not necessarily putting it on us. It'll just happen. We, you know, everyone else out there, continue to carry on with the morals you feel you have. And if you feel something's about to happen in front of you that's not right or needs to be adjusted better, then, yeah, just like it's your job now to tap unpopular opinions and risk ridicule from your peers to say the truth, when that time comes, yeah, it'll be your job then, too, to say, hey, hold on, guys, wait a second. Wait. Let's, maybe this one needs to be taken into trial. And hold on, we can't just drag this one out. We need to figure this out. And we will. But there just won't be enough of us around. Some of them will just go, and it'll just happen. It'll be beyond our control.
I think
that part of it is, God will. God loves the masses. He does love all the people, and he's got a plan for all of them.
Right, and I think Robert Steele in his presentation was talking about that, because he's getting word that the upper echelon of these Bolshevik Jews is starting to sweat. They're starting to sweat because the wake-up is happening so fast and it's so pervasive that they didn't see it coming. They thought they were going to waltz through this. They had the advantage in 100 years ago. There was very little, there was no internet. There was no communication. And so they were able to take $20 million of gold bullion from Canada, which came from New York City Jew banks. And they were able to buy off politicians. They were able to buy off the officers of the White Russian Army. They were able to buy off key citizens and things like that. And then they just used terror, just outright stock terror, to force the people into a fearful state. And from that point on, they pretty much could do anything they wanted in the country, including making it a death penalty to express any form of anti-Jewish rhetoric. And they're trying it here in the United States again. I mean, they want to pass a law that says you can't boycott the Israeli country, Israeli, for any reason. And anybody advocating that can actually be fined and possibly go to jail. Well, that's the same Bolshevik Jews trying the same crap they did 100 years ago in Russia. Okay, that's just another sign that these same creatures have left that area after they milked it for how many decades, imprisoning people and killing off millions of white men and women, and sometimes children. They run roughshod over the Russian people, so the Russian people finally got rid of them. Now they're over here. So the parasites have moved from one host to a new host, and they've almost bled us dry. And so where else are they going to go? The rest of the world has woke up to who they are. This is it. They've got to go for world control. And I'm praying for Yahweh's intervention and the prophet Obadiah to be 100% right, and then this problem will be a problem no more.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and, maybe one time I want to try to express it now. We could all come in and we could do I've told you about my theory of, the higher up, the highest of the enemy, the highest ranks of the Jews in Israel. Maybe, they might actually be encouraging this. I think, because even Hitler said that the Jews that live in other worlds, he said this, if we lose this, the Jews in these other countries, they won't go to Israel. They won't. They will continue to live in the countries and bleed and make those countries suffer until they take it far enough that those countries force them out. Well, if you look at what's been the narrative of Israel when it comes to their own people for the last 40 years, it's they want more of them to come there. I theorize a lot of part of this inserting the Muslims into all these countries where they're right there Jews, and the Muslims don't like the Jews at all. They do attack them, not much they hit us, but they do attack them, is to force those out. It's kind of like the Jews are having to deal with the rebellious of their own people. And they understand that, well, until it gets bad enough, they're not going to come over. And, in the Talmud, in their version of the Book of Revelations, in their version of it end times, all of the Jews, before their Messiah will come, the Messiah will come and lead them all back, minus 6 million. Minus 6 million. Let's not forget, that's where that 6 million came from. It's in their end times prophecy, that 6 million number. Minus 6 million. Well, that 6 million is going to have to die. You know, they're not going to be with them. Who's going to do it? Really pissed off people at them.
Yeah, interesting.
It's a far-fetched theory. I can't back it up on much. It's something I look at and keep in the back of my mind, but it's one of those things where it kind of fits the facts. It makes sense that, with Israel with all this power through Operation Telpiot to shut down our electrical systems and everything, can I theorize that if they are pushing this, when it comes time, when they could do something to stop the back of an awakening, when it, for lack of a better term, when the quickening starts to happen, and it starts to happen fast, they won't do anything. They won't do anything because they'll want us, because that is the only thing that will get them to come back and resurrect their Messiah, which would be our Antichrist.
Yeah, interesting. Good points. Hey, we've only got about 2 minutes left, so unfortunately. So if you got any closing remarks.
I feel bad. I did not intend to come in and take over your whole call. Other people might have been trying to get in. I apologize.
No. It worked out fine because the other callers had already gotten off, so not a problem. Not a problem at all.
For our last for a last thought, I would just offer, guys, if you're listening, you're a part of the elder crowd. And from now on, when people come to you and ask you about this incident or that incident, don't just parrot the stuff that you know all the other guys are going to parrot. Find the good. Find the positive. We need to give our people heroes, and we need to give them strength. We need to give them stories of our people fighting back. And what's the good elements of this? And it takes work to find that. And nobody's going to be better at it than us because we've been studying them forever. So use those talents you got. You know, it's kind of like all these other people have now become private first class or corporals. Well, some of us are going from colonel to general, and other of us are going from second lieutenant to major or corporal or colonel, whatever you want to say. So as we all move up, we have to change our ability and act as such.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Jay, and Yahweh bless your heart, buddy.
Yahweh bless you too and everyone else.
All right, folks, we're out of time. Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and hallelujah. Amen.